Today's scripture reading is by Ephesians 2 verse 10, and it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do."
Ordinary people, just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like me and you who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people who will give him all, no matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hands. Use me, even me. Who can God use? How about a little loving girl who's taken away from, against her will, from her family, and she is sent to probably a well-to-do family, not too shabby, but she'll probably never see her family again. To work as a slave, though probably not treated badly, yet not her first choice. However, from a child, she was taught how to behave among strangers, taught about the love of God. And as Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in a way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." What? Does that mean they won't make mistakes? Does that mean they'll be perfect? No. Have you ever ridden a bike? You learnt to ride a bike. Now, you haven't ridden a bike for 20 years. You never forget how to ride a bike. Even if you're on a bike wobbling all over the place, you know to put your best foot forward, and eventually you'll get it. But that's training. Now, 2 Kings verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2. The Syrians raided a village of Israel and captured this little maid. She waits on Naaman's family, a wealthy family, yet the maid has a good heart even towards her enemies. That's God. That's the training that she was taught. She tells Naaman's wife of the God and the man of God who could cure her master's illness of leprosy. We know the story. Use me, even me. Matthew 14, verse 1 to 21, Jesus have just healed the sick, and he's speaking for a wide crowd. People were hungry from the sermon. They probably came to be healed, because that's what he normally did when he was out. And it's getting late now. And in verse 15, the disciple, possibly Philip, says, "Jesus, it's late. This is a deserted place. Send the people home, or at least to the nearest village, so they can get some food." Jesus says, "Don't send them away, feed them." Now, I can imagine disciples shrugging their shoulders. Now, it says there were 500 men. Now, it didn't count the women, didn't count the children. So chances are there was at least one woman to one man, possibly. And about that time, there's probably at least two children to one woman. So you got times that 5,000 by at least three. It makes the miracle a bit more fantastic, don't you think? But then they still have a problem. They're hungry. How are they going to get food? Jesus says, feed them. A little boy, he has five loaves, two fish. Now I imagine when he left home, his mum gave him something, as parents do, to support the little one on their journey, because they don't know how long they'll be, but at least they know they get food. To take away the young boy's food, to give it to others, differences, Jesus was involved. Now we know the story well. Everyone got fed. There was even leftovers. So now we have, remember I said, use me, Lord, even me. We have a little girl, a maiden. Don't know how old she was. Let's say she was up to 12, possibly even 15, probably less than that. We have a little boy. Doesn't say how old he is. God has used them. So when we say, oh, I can't be used because I'm too small, I'm too little, my hands are too small, my feet are too small, my feet are too big. We all the excuses why God can't use us. They're only excuses, but God can use anybody. So God uses this little boy to feed the big multitude. Another character, Esther chapter 1 to chapter 6. Now Esther chapter 1 and verse 12, King Xerxes was a Persian king. He banishes his queen, Vashti, because she dissed him. She did something to embarrass him amongst his guests. Now, did she do wrong? It's not for me to say. The thing is, he was unhappy and he wanted to make an example of her. So the king, as we know the story, chooses a young lady, a Jewish lady, to become his queen. He chooses Hadassah, who is Esther. However, no one knows she's a Jew except Mordecai, who is her cousin. Now, Mordecai is classed as an uncle. I guess that's out of respect because he was older. Now, we have that. We have people in our family who are our cousins, but then we don't say, we probably say uncle or aunt because they're a lot older than we are and out of respect. So I guess that's what happened. Now, everything's going well. She's queen. She has all these people looking out for her. She has a good life. Until a bitter court official named Haman, who hates the Jews because Mordecai would not bow down to him and he wants to get even. So this official named Haman, he goes to the king and tricks him to make him sign the decree to kill all the Jews. Now, Esther chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, we have, this is now where he tricks the king. Esther chapter 4, verse 8 to 14, Mordecai tells Esther to go to the king and plead our case. Now, at first, Esther was unwilling because at that time, no one went into the king unless he held out his scepter. He has to call you first. If you went without being called, well, things didn't go well for you. And Mordecai says to Esther, do you think because no one knows you're a Jew that you're not involved in this? You're just as involved as we are. And in verse 16, we hear that Esther then passes the message to Mordecai to tell all the Jews to fast and pray because I'm going to do what you've asked. I'm going to go to the king and then ask if he can save the Jews. It'll mean me confessing that I'm a Jew. And so that may not go well for me, but at the end of the day, if I perish, I perish. So we have an older young lady now who is queen. And she now puts herself on the line for her people. But she didn't do it by herself. She trusted in God to take care of her. And that's why she asked everyone to pray and fast for this situation. Now, we know the story of Esther quite well. And in Esther chapter 7, we hear that Haman was happy that he's invited to this banquet, but then near the end is now told of what he's done. And they say that the same gallows that he had erected for Mordecai, they actually didn't put it to waste and they hung him on it. Now, we've had two younger people. Now, Jada Lee was very good for me and helped me by reading the scripture reading. I know she'd have rather sit in her seat, but I thank you so much for reading it so well. Now, is Jada 55? No, she's a child. But can God use our children? Yes, he can. He can use them to tie knots, which I'll be seeing you later to show me how to do that knot. But you see, God can use any one of us so long as we're willing to be used. How about another young man? In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 8, we hear of a giant called Goliath. He ridicules Israel, and he said, "Send me one man. We all don't have to fight this war. Just send me one man. And if he beats me, like he would, then we will be your servants. However, if we beat you, like I know I will, then you are our servants, so you will do our beckoning." Now we know the story that Israel was very, scared of this man coming every morning, taunting, but not only taunting Israel, taunting their God. "Your God, I've heard of your, he's nothing." And then comes little David with a slingshot and some smooth pebbles. But let me ask you, was the power in the slingshot? Nope. Was the power in the smooth stones that David used? Nope. David of himself was useless. But one thing David has, he trusts in God. And he said, "I will fight this Philistine because I serve a God who never makes mistakes. He protected me against a lion and the bear. I'm sure he'll come through." And of course, we know the story. The sling went round and round and round. Your children know the story. And of course, we know David wins, Goliath loses. And everyone runs away. So now we have two little people, two bigger people who trusted in God. And God came through. Like I said, we know the story. Does God only use his people, though? The children of Israel was God's people. That's his chosen people. Does God only use Seventh-day Adventists? Does he use Baptists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics? He uses everybody, doesn't he? Well, how about Joshua chapter 2? A Gentile woman from Jericho, the promised land, a prostitute, if you please. Surely God can't use her. I mean, even when she did a good deed of hiding the spies on a roof, she told a big fat lie to her people when they asked, "Where are those men that came in?" And she said, "I don't know where they are. They were here, they're gone." She lied. Surely if you lie, God can't use you. God wants perfect people, doesn't he? No, of course he doesn't. He wants everybody. Now, Rahab then... Now, this story really made me think. Do you think only we know the story of how God helped his people? No, Israelite wasn't the only one that knew the story. All the neighboring enemies knew the story. They knew how this God freed them from Pharaoh. He knew that they he dried up the sea that they can cross on dry land. They knew all the kings that Israel, so say, conquered because of their God. Rahab was no different. After she hid the spies, she said, "I know your God is powerful. I know what he has done. I know he will do all good things. I know you're coming back and you're going to defeat us. Please, please, please don't forget me and my family. Spare, because I know you're coming back. I know you're going to win. Spare me." And she believed in Jehovah. And did God come through for her and her family? Yes. So God don't just use us. He'll use anybody who's willing, little or big, young, old, fat, thin, wealthy, poor. He doesn't care. All he asks you to trust him, and you can, and he will use you. So we have a little girl, a little boy, a young woman, a young man, a woman of ill repute, let's say. There's no limit of who God can use. How about a greedy man who was once a prophet of God? He's been asked to curse God's people by the enemy. And I'll make you rich. And that's all his intention was. So he saddles up his donkey. He gets on his donkey. And then he's set off. Because he wants that money. And then there's an angel in the road with a flaming sword, with a sword, I mean. And the donkey sees the sword and runs into the field. Now, he's not going the right way. I got my sat nav. I know church is that way, not that way. So he whoops the donkey. Anyway, that's all done. The donkey is now with his master and he goes on the road again. And this time, the angel with a sword is now on the path. And now there's nowhere to go back. So the donkey moves to the left and or to the right and he crushes Balaam's leg. And Balaam is angry. I hear him shout, "Ouch! What are you doing?" And he whoops that donkey again. And the donkey's probably just shaking his head. "Why me?" Saddle up again. And Balaam's gone with his donkey again. This time, the angel's on the road and there's nowhere to the left, nowhere to the right. So the donkey sits down, boom. And now Balaam, he's not happy. He whoops the donkey, whoops the donkey. And the Bible says, God opens the donkey's mouth. I can imagine the conversation. It's like me in my car, sat nav set ready. I'm going on. The car worked yesterday. I drove to the garage. I made sure I got enough fuel. And of course, I'm going, and also, car conks out. I do like John Cleese. He gets that branch and he whoops the car. I like that anyway. But then I can imagine if your car spoke to you, "Pastor, have I been a faithful car to you? Have I not taken you to Hemel every morning and on your journey? Have I ever let you down?" Now, that's funny. The problem is, Balaam answers. So donkey talks to him, said, "I've been a good donkey, haven't I? Have I ever let you down?" I said, "Why are you whipping me?" He said, "Because you've embarrassed me." I'm thinking, if I saw the donkey talking, I'm going, "Just a minute, I'm gone. You stay there, I'm gone. I'll go to on foot." Humorous though it may be, God then opens the eyes of Balaam and he sees the angel with a drawn sword. This I find interesting. The angel didn't say, if your donkey didn't move that way all this time, I would have killed you. He said, I would have spared the donkey. Which means that I'd have killed you, yes, I wouldn't have hurt the donkey. I'm thinking, why did he say that? Now, what do we say? God used a little boy, a little girl, a young lady, a young man. God uses, let's say, a heathen, someone who is not an Israelite, someone who is bound for destruction. But yet still, God didn't only use her, as in Rahab. She was in the line of our Christ himself. But get this now. God can use, as the first reading I said, anybody. I was at camp over the weekend, and we had some young counselors who were made to go with their pathfinders, because that's what their requirements was. And they sat down twiddling their thumbs. And I thought, I went over to one of them and I said, you look bored. He said, yeah, I'm bored. Do you mind looking out for all this on this table? If I teach what to do, and you know that if you teach them their honor and they pass, you do realize you get a badge yourself. He said, really? I like the sound of that. And I did that to all the tables where the children need a bit more help. And when you're teaching a class, when you have other people out in different groups looking after every class, it goes faster. The children knew their counselors. The children knew the leaders of their club, and they learned quicker. God can use any of us. If that junior counselor wasn't willing, then we would still learn, but it would have been more difficult. Saying this, if we don't allow ourselves to be used by God, he will still do the work. If he can use a donkey, I'm sure he can use a car to get us to do something done. I remember I was in Hemel Church. I come every week, sit down in the Sabbath school and that sort of thing, and listen to the message and go home. And I remember Katrina was going off to do missionary work. And Katrina approached me and said, do you mind teaching the primary class? I'm thinking, well, I haven't taught the primary class before. And I thought, well, I don't know them. Oh, God, you'll be all right. They're right. Yeah, but they don't know me. I made every excuse under the sun. But I taught the class. I'm not saying they all knew me, but you know what really made my heart well was when Julius came back as a older person, and he remembered that I used to teach him in primary and junior. And I tell you, you couldn't have had a more mannerly young man. And it makes us know that if Katrina didn't ask me to teach the class, I wouldn't have taught the class. Not only did I teach the class, I've taught the juniors, the early teens, and now I'm with the youth. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm the best teacher in the world. It just means I'm willing to teach. Do you think God can use me? Yeah. I think God can use me. I think he's not finished with me yet. I wasn't always like this. I remember when I was in Bristol. That's where I grew up. And I was part of the youth team. I wasn't very good. I mean, I went to the meetings, but I never took part in anything. I was just name on the wall, as it were. And I remember I was conscious that the reason why I'm no good because I don't know what to do. And out of the blue, the youth leader said, we're taking the young people out an event. Is there a chance you can teach, you can actually do the afternoon AY while we're away? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. And he said, no, I mean, do the AY. Now, bear in mind, I've not done anything the whole year. So, do the AY, I mean, by yourself. I said, yeah, I'll do it. No, I mean, do the AY, I mean, do the program next week. I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I did. And she came back and said, we heard good things about your program. Then the following nominating committee came, and they wanted me to be youth leader. This previous youth leader said, I think you're wasting your time. He didn't do any work at all under myself, and I think, it's a bit too much for him. And she told me this. And I said, oh, yeah, but if you're willing to take this job on and be the youth leader, I'll work with you. I'll help you. I'll nurture you through. I thought, wow. So I said, yeah. I did it. I survived it, let's say. I survived it. The following year, I did it again. This time with Susan. And we did it together. And a lot of things happened. I saw myself grow. I then was asked to be elder in training. I said, okay, no problem at all. I'm not preaching. Can't preach. No, I'm not preaching. No, me. He said, no. You just come and sit and you do what you ask to do and you meet another. You want to preach. I don't think they were truly honest with me. Oh, we need someone to preach in Bath. It's only Bath. Years later now, I'm standing here. I'm not saying I'm any good. I'm just allowing God to use me. Use me, even me.